Passionate, driven, enthusiastic, euphoric. This is who we are as entrepreneurs. But how we leverage these incredible attributes to dream and build businesses that scale and grow is what this podcast is all about. Hello, I'm attorneypreneur Josh Brown, and welcome to Franchise Euphoria. Back to another episode of Franchise Euphoria. I am just simply thrilled today to have on my friend Aaron Walker, who is a life and business coach that really helps entrepreneurs, franchise owners, business owners in general, not only find success in their business, but find significance in their lives. He's led a very interesting and successful life himself, and I think you're going to find this interview very, very fascinating. So welcome to the show.
Thanks, Josh. Man, I appreciate you having me on today.
Well, listen, I just think what you're doing and your focus on helping men find success, not only in business, but in life, I really believe it's a very powerful message. And it's a much needed message in today's world. I'd like to just kind of kick this thing off to give some people some perspective. If you could just talk a little bit about your history, not only with business, but how you were able to turn your business success into life significance.
Well, I appreciate that. I'll give you a little backstory. I'll give you 36 years of business and marriage in about 2 minutes. How's that?
Oh, I love that.
I'll give you the backstory. I started in business really early. My wife said that I came out of the womb grown. You know, I never was a child. I went straight into business. But I started working at a local pawn shop when I was 13 years old. Fell in love with that business at 15, Josh. Can you believe that? I fell in love with that business, and I knew what I wanted to do for a living at 15 years old. I went to summer school and night school for 2 years. When I was a junior in high school, I had enough credits to graduate, so I didn't have to go my junior and senior year of high school. So I started working every day. I met a couple of really successful guys. They were the 21st largest property and casualty insurance company in the nation at that time. And they were investing with me in diamonds and gold, and they were just trying to hedge against inflation. So they were making these investments. Well, I went to them one day and I said, listen, have you ever thought about maybe going in business and we'll open a pawn shop? And they said, no, we've never considered that. And I said, well, I want to go in partners with you. And they said, how old are you? And I said, I'm 18.
Wow.
And they said, wow, that's what they said. And so they thought about it a couple of weeks. They invited me to their offices and they checked on me at my church. And then they checked on me at the school and found out, you know, I wasn't Charles Manson or anything. And they said, well, hey, let's do it. But we want you to have skin in the game. We're going to go to the bank. We're going to borrow the money. And then you're going to sign on the note. And I thought about that a minute, and I talked to my mom and dad about it, and they said, hey, we've got nothing. You know, you got nothing to lose, so why not? And so I said, well, you know, okay, so let's do it. So I went to the bank, signed. Well, Josh, at 18 years old, this is in 1979, I had $150,000. I had a checkbook, and they told me to go open the store. So I was a nervous wreck, man. I was scared to death. So I did exactly that. I negotiated a lease in a shopping mall, and man, the Lord just blessed our business. Just phenomenal. When I was 21 years old, 3 years later, we had paid off a 10-year loan in 36 months.
Really?
We saved the money, went and bought another store, bought my third store when I was 25. When I was 26, we opened our fourth store. And then a company in Fort Worth, Texas called Cash America came to town. They are a Fortune 500 company. They were growing through acquisition. And they came and made me an offer. And I said, well, hey, that sounds pretty good coming from a background of no money, no opportunity. And, you know, 9 years later, I'm able to retire. And so we sold out. And here's what happened, Josh. I discovered it was the biggest blessing and one of the biggest mistakes I've ever made. I had no trusted advisors around me whatsoever to guide me and direct me. I was a guy that came from a family of no money, a very humble background. My dad never made over $15,000 a year in his life. Wow. And so I couldn't get any financial advice there. And so we sold out. But 18 months later, my wife was getting me out of bed in the middle of the day. And I was bored to death. I had plenty of money. You know, I could sit at home, but I had no purpose. I had no reason to get out of the bed. So I gained 50 pounds. Don't tell anybody that, but I gained 50 pounds. And I was fat and lazy and bored. And so my wife said, we've got to do something. So I went back. I went in partners with the pawn shop that I started with when I was 13. I left there at 18. And we grew that thing four times the size that it was. I'm a creator developer.
Yeah.
When we're maintaining and managing, Josh, I get very bored. So we bought a new location, built a new store. We grew it. And then something really tragic happened, Josh. In 2001, I was on the way to the office. I had been totally focused on success my whole life. A pedestrian was crossing the street to catch a bus and didn't see me, ran out in front of me, and I struck the pedestrian. And he lived 3 days in the Vanderbilt trauma unit. And forever and a day after that, my life was changed forever. So I went back and sold the business. I said, hey, I've been chasing success my whole life, and there's got to be more to life than just success. So Robin and I, we got married. I forgot to mention this a while ago. 2 weeks out of high school, we got married. So we've been together now 35 years. But we decided to build a new house, and we were going to take some time off. So I took 5 years off, regrouped, refocused, got my bearings back under me, and went and opened a construction company. And we took it to number one 3 consecutive years out of a 10-year period in Middle Tennessee. And then at 50, I retired and started coaching men, and I opened a business, and I called it View from the Top. And now I get to lead men each and every day. I facilitate mastermind groups and writing some courses, writing a book. And Josh, I'm having the time of my life.
Wow. That's a whole lot to digest. That's incredible. You did pack all that in just a 2-minute segment. That's really an incredible biography. Let's take a step back right to the outset. What sort of caught my attention at the beginning was when you said at 15 years old, you knew exactly what you wanted to do. That's a rarity, I think. What do you think attributed to you understanding that at that young age?
Well, you know, like I said, I started working when I was 8. And I bought a lawnmower at Western Auto, saved my money, $300, bought a lawnmower. And I had a little lawn care business when I was 19 years old, the church in our community and a couple of yards. And then I started working with my next door neighbor, and he had a delivery service. And I helped him on weekends when I was, you know, 11 and 12 years old. Then when I was 13 years old, I went to work for this pawn shop. I just wanted to work. I love being around people. And I love to encourage people. I love to be around them. I love to laugh. I'm a salesman. And so I just love being around that. And when you're in the pawn shop business, you're dealing with all kind of cool stuff all the time. And I just thought, this is something I want to make a career out of. So I elected not to go to college. I didn't go. You know, I've got an education, but it's through grit, determination, and perseverance more than academia. And so I just elected to do it a different route. It paid off. And, you know, I did okay. What I discovered in that process was in 2001, how there was total success in my life, but there was no significance. And I've dedicated the last half or last three quarters of my life to significance, because there's a lot to success, yet there's a lot more to significance. And I didn't want to have just success for me personally. I wanted to leave a legacy of significance. And so it's a lot of hard work. You know, there's a lot of things that you've got to do in order to be significant. And I want to be that with my family, in the community, and with my colleagues. And so I've gone kind of on a quest over the past number of years, trying to teach men to be successful, because you don't have to choose. It's not either or. We can have both. And so I help men determine what success is for them, and then I help them to determine what significance is for them. And we marry the two, and we set out on a journey to accomplish that.
Well, you know, it's a really interesting and worthwhile endeavor, because, you know, so many people, you know, in the space that I deal with, and people trying to find businesses, whether it's a, you know, franchise and they're looking to run a business, or they're looking to start their own business or to grow their own business, you know, so often the focus is on the business, because we all know the statistics out there, and certainly these statistics are stacked against you from a success perspective when you start a business. So there's a lot of pressure there just to maintain your business. And it can be very, very easy to get your life out of whack. I mean, I speak from personal experience as well. I mean, I have my own my own business, my own law firm, a second business as well. You know, even right now, it's really, really hard to keep that life balance. I wonder, is that part of your training and your workings, is that you help people identify and figure out how to maintain that balance?
It is. And let me just encourage your listeners, that feeling of balance, that never goes away. And what I teach men to do is embrace the tension, because when you're embracing the tension, you're paying attention and you're saying that I need to focus all the time on doing the right thing. What happens most of the time, and I've now been in business almost 4 decades, what I find out is that we're overachievers, you know, the entrepreneurs. We want bigger, better, brighter, faster stuff. And then what I help people do is to understand the life that they can design to live that they want. A lot of the times people are living a life that others expect them to live, and they're trying to keep up with the Joneses. They're trying to get the bigger house, the more tangible possessions, and they tie their identity up in those tangible possessions or their career. And I help men understand that your identity is not found in those things, because what happens if you lose your job? What happens if you lose that big house? Then you're devastated. And most men will achieve success financially, and they'll come home one day to a house of strangers, and they don't know their wife, and they don't know their children. So invariably, those guys don't have the relationships that I'm trying to teach them to have. They die wealthy alone, or they die wealthy in a house that the other members of the family are going right when you turn left. And so I'm saying, have success, enjoy the fruits of your labor, but don't do it at the expense of your family or your other relationships. And where I really help men is discovering, I wrote a document called What Do I Want? Most people live their lives reactive, not proactive. And what I say is, get with your mate out on the front porch quarterly and say, how are we doing on our goals? How are we doing on our 5-year goals, 10-year goals, 15-year goals? Robin and I in June will celebrate 35 years.
Wow.
From the very beginning, we wanted to live a life on purpose. We wanted to be intentional. I didn't want to live Josh's life. I wanted to live my life. In order to do that, I had to say, I'm willing to delay gratification to get you fill in the blank. Or I want to have more time with my family, so I'm willing to forego the bigger house. It's just do it on purpose. Well, these 30 questions that I ask you on this document, what do I want? They're very elementary. People say, man, these questions are simple. I said, well, they're simple until you try to answer them. And then when you begin to answer them, I ask questions like, Josh, if you were to get up tomorrow morning with no geographic or financial limitations, what would you do with your life? Well, most people don't know.
Yeah.
Most people know that they got to make some money tomorrow to pay for the big house and the big car and the second home and the bigger boat, the furniture that they can't afford. And so they don't take the time to go, you know, maybe a minimalist approach a little more is better, and I've got my time back. Robin and I built the big house on the hill, you know, the long driveway, the gate, you know, the 185 trees in the yard, the 7 acres that you mow, and we were a slave to it. Our kids got grown, and we sat out there on the front porch one day and we said, this place is a show place. And it was. I'm not boasting, but it was. It was beautiful. But we were a slave to take care of that house. And we sat out there one day and said, what are we doing this for? Why are we here every day maintaining the irrigation and the landscape and the driveway? Why are we doing that? You know, our kids are off doing this and that, and we're a slave to this house. Well, we just chose not to do that. So we sold it. We went out. We bought a house that's a third that size back in the woods. It's got a quarter acre of grass and 8 acres of woods. The maintenance now is a fraction of what it was. Josh, I've never slept so good in my life because I got my time back.
No, that's so bad. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to my wife as well. I mean, the older I get as well, it's just interesting how the less the materialistic things mean to me. I mean, I was never an overly materialistic person, but I think part of it is when you go through, at least in my case, you know, when you go through the stress of trying to build something and start something and own something, and you become, and the pride that you can attain from just that, you know, just achieving that thing, you realize very quickly that all these other things that are material in certain ways, really, they don't mean much. And they just cause a lot of clutter in your life. And I know there's a whole lot of people out there that, that, you know, that's part of their, that's part of their goal. That's part of their drive. That's part of what gets them up each and every day. But I got to imagine if that is what gets you up and that is your only drive, then maybe you're not going in the right direction.
Yeah. You got to be really careful with what your motivator is. I've got a, I'll tell you a quick little story. I've got a client out in Oklahoma. And so he said, hey, I want to hire you. And he did. And I flew out there and he said, evaluate my business, had a great little business. And I evaluated the business and we went to his house and he had a really nice camper. You know, you pull behind a third wheel camper. And I said, that's really cool. And he goes, yeah, we bought that a couple of years ago. And I said, what do you get out in it much? And he said, well, last year we used it for a week. And then this year we've used it for a 3-day weekend. And I said, oh, 10 days in 2 years. And he said, yeah. And I said, what'd you get for that camper? He said, well, we gave $50,000. I didn't say anything else about it. Didn't ask any more questions. So I came home. He said, I paid cash for it, though. I don't owe anything on it. So I came home and I did the math. And so I said, okay, we've got the maintenance and the depreciation and, you know, we're using it this many days. Well, make a long story short, I wrote a blog and put it on my site. And I went through all the math in the blog and I said, he used it for 10 days last year with all the variables that it cost him. He spent $1,137 a night at the KOA. And so I said, I hope you enjoyed your stay. And so he read the blog and I didn't tell who it was. I didn't even tell him I was doing it. He called me the next day and he said, I read your blog yesterday and I'm selling the camper. And I started laughing. Well, we went through his whole life doing that. He wanted to build a new house. And instead, he's 31 years old. Instead, in 18 months, we've paid off his house rather than building a new one. He's got a business that he owed about $580,000 on. His business did really good. Instead of buying a bigger house, we paid his business off. Now he's 31. Everything he has is paid for. He went on vacation last week and he called me. He said, I've never been so relaxed. I've never felt so good in my entire life. Same house. The debt's gone and he's enjoying himself better than ever before. He said, if I'd have bought the big house, it would have been a mistake. I would have been in debt further. All I'm saying is that we have to identify what success is for your family. And I thought through this a little bit, Josh, and I can't impose on you what success is, but some of the things for me, and I want to go through this just for a second.
Sure.
To me, success, the big thing is everybody wants financial freedom and they want stability. And I think that's important. And I don't think we should ever shy away from getting that. For me, having an engaging family and meaningful relationships, like with Josh, I want to be your friend. I want to be available for you. I want to have an engaging, meaningful relationship, not call you just when I need something, but periodically check on you. Well, you can't do that when your nose is against the grindstone all the time. You can't do it for your family. You miss so many opportunities. So for me, an engaging family. Another big thing is a clear conscience. You know, you want to devote time and effort and energy being successful with a clear conscience. Your health, I told you that I was getting in the bed in the middle of the day when I was 27. I gained 50 pounds. That really, your health suffers as a direct result of it. And then I teach guys how to be content without being complacent. And they're two entirely different things. You know, you want to be content in all situations, you know, because happiness is a choice, not a trait. And we choose to be happy in the positions that we're in, but not complacent. We want to grow. I said a while ago, I'm a creator developer. I love to grow. I just want to be sure I'm growing for the right reasons. And then I want to have a clear sense of direction. I want to know where I'm headed. I want to have dreams. I want to establish goals. I'm a Christ follower, so I trust in a higher power. You know, I'm a Christian. So for me, success is trusting in that higher power. And then I want to have meaning and purpose. And at the end of the day, you know, I want to be considered a wise person. Well, significance is different than success. Significance for me is like maybe meeting the needs of others. Or what about helping people that can't repay you? Now you've really done something for somebody because your motive wasn't in to get. See, relationships are about what we bring to the relationship, not what we get from the relationship. And then I said, I want to be available to aid others, maybe even when it's not convenient for me. right? Then we know we've done something also. We've taken time out of our busy day. And then I want to always, Josh, I always want to be able to provide for others beyond the expected amount or the minimal requirements. You know, I want to be able to give more. And I can't do that if I'm always chasing success. And then I want to place my personal wants and desires aside for the benefit of others, like Josh or my family or my other buddies. I want to be able to say, hey, I want to be able to help you, and I'm going to put my personal desires aside. I want to kind of deprive myself for the sake of others and then delay our gratification for the greater good, and then maybe have the foresight to be able to invest in long-term matters that will impact generations to come. And I teach guys to engage in relationships. You ever been with somebody where you're talking to them and they keep looking left or looking right? It's like the guy with the remote. They're only interested in what's not on TV, not what they're watching.
Yeah, well, I
teach
that.
People.
I do too.
I teach people to engage. And I said, here's the easiest way I know to help you engage. Stop waiting your turn to talk. Listen.
Yeah.
Listen to what they're saying and engage people. And if so, you've been successful. So I wanted to kind of break down what success is and what significance is. And that's kind of what it is for me.
Well, and it's great because they're two ends of the same spectrum, really, because, you know, if you do both well, they both add to each other. And I think and that's why I think it's really, really magical about it, is that if you focus on the significance, more success will come. And if you focus on the right kind of success, more significance will come. And I think that's something that, you know, from my perspective, entrepreneurs crave and people who are getting into business crave. But it's also something that people who don't have their own businesses crave. I mean, just, you know, average workers or who, you know, work people who work for others. I'm curious, do you are most of your clients entrepreneurs?
They are.
OK.
Yeah, they are for the majority. There are a few folks that I've coached, you know, that are CEOs or CFOs or COOs of different companies. But for the most part, they're entrepreneurs.
So when somebody works with you, is it on an individualized basis or a group basis?
Yeah, I do both. There's a couple of different ways that you can work with me. First is one-on-one. You know, I have designated time that we talk either in person, on the phone, Skype, ever how we talk. And then the second way is I own a couple of mastermind groups. It's called Iron Sharpens Iron, you know, where one man sharpens another just as iron sharpens iron. It's the same premise where we have trusted advisors. We have people that are non-biased that are in the groups. And, you know, I just coach men. I just have men, nothing against women whatsoever. It's just that my niche market is men because we're void of really good men. And I tell people, let's get in the trenches, let's lock arms, let's figure it out, let's grow, let's be the men that God called us to be, let's be people that really are going to make a difference, let's be the husband, let's be the dad that we're supposed to be. And that takes a lot of hard work. It's a lot easier, you know, to lay on the couch and watch reruns of Sports Central or something, but to really get in the trenches and do the right thing and to leave a legacy, I've elected to coach men. My wife said the reason I've chose men is because I make women cry because I'm a high D and I just say it the way it is. She goes, you don't have to be so daggum mean. You know, I said, I'm not mean. It's just that I got a message and I want to be sure these knuckleheads hear it out there because we're all knuckleheads, you know, just trying to figure it out. But I want guys kind of with the Marine mentality. It's like, hey, I'm going to be better. I'm going to do the right thing. You just help me figure it out, hold me accountable, and I'll do the right thing. So anyway, Josh, I've just elected to deal with men as a result of it. But that's the two primary ways. Iron Sharpens Iron Mastermind groups, where we meet every week in a video conference room. We dream together, hold each other accountable. We do what's called man in the middle, where you're the focus of the attention that week. We read books together, and I'm an avid reader. I've read hundreds of books. I'll read 2-3 hours every day, not every single day, but most every day. And I want people to educate themselves better and to learn the techniques they need to do to be the professional in whatever arena they're in. So we're all about business, Josh. We really get into it. And it's not just in business, but it's family. I want you to get whole at the office and at home. And I want to set boundaries up. And I want you to say, when I'm present at home, I'm present. and I don't want you to be, you know, the electronics and doing all that stuff. Let me tell you this. I can teach you to make money. It's not that hard to make money. Seriously, it's really not that hard. And you can lose money. You can do businesses that don't work out the way you'd planned and you lose money. Businesses don't have a memory, but your wife and children do.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
I want those guys to be served well by you at home, because you get one chance to go at it right with that wife and with those boys or those girls, your children. At work, you can get multiple do-overs with no memory. At home, you know, you can get a do-over, but it's a lot tougher road. So I just help guys really focus on their relationships at home as well as the success at their office.
Well, that's got to be one of the most impactful things that you do, especially in this world we live in now, which in many ways is boundaryless. And so it's that has its advantages, right? I mean, we can business is changing because of it in terms of where you can operate geographically, where you can be located. But of course, we all know the downsides of that, where, you know, you're on 24/7. I can certainly relate to that, having my own law practice. Just ask my wife how often I'm at home and I'm on a call or I'm on the phone, and it's very, very challenging to not do that when you have your own business. And so I think that's probably a very impactful lesson that you can teach through your coaching.
Josh, let me touch on that just for a second, because like I said, almost four decades now, you know, I haven't had a paycheck since I was 18. I've always been self-employed. And so I've had to make these decisions now almost 40 years, what you just said. And let me just give you a word of encouragement. When I was in the construction business, we built high-end residences, and I mean high-end. It was high-end. It was multi-million dollar houses, some of them that we built, and $500 to $2 million-plus houses. So we dealt with high-end executives, you know, a lot of the houses that we built. Invariably, they would say, hey, I want you to meet me on Saturday or Sunday to do this or that. And I just said, hey, Mr. Smith, I got a family too, and I can meet you during the week, but I'm with my grandkids and my wife on Saturdays. And they'd say, well, it's the only time I have. I said, it's the only time I have too. And we can meet during the week, or we can meet next week, but I don't work on Saturdays and Sundays. And my partner would say, hey, I'll meet him. Well, invariably he met every Saturday because he would, and I wouldn't. And
so is this why you were growing the business? So this is why you were growing.
It doesn't matter when it is. My point is yes, growing it, not growing it. I'm saying that you have to set boundaries because other people will fill your calendar if you allow them. Now, here's what I found out. People will respect you more. Now, right then, they may be irritated about it, but they will respect you more because you've built boundaries around the things that are the most important to you. Now, Josh, I'm not trying to step on anybody's toes here, but I'm going to say it, okay, because that's what I do. That's why I don't coach women. I make them cry.
Just say it.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. Our words don't coincide with our actions. And here's what happens. Oh, yeah, my wife's important. Oh, yeah, my children's important. And we continue to do the same thing over and over and over that doesn't match up. I'm just saying we say it's important, but our actions don't speak that. And all I'm saying is don't say that. Just do what you're doing. Don't complicate things by saying it is important and then your actions don't match up. If your wife's important and she's priority one, you need to treat her that way. Your kids are number one, they're priority. You need to treat them that way. You need to do what you say. You need to put the boundaries up and tell the client, hey, I love you and all that, but you'll be here again Monday. And my kids are going to be gone when they're 16. And I don't have but a few opportunities to do this or that. Those clients, they're always going to be there. There'll be more clients. There'll be more money. There'll be more opportunity. But you don't get another chance with them kids. And I'm just saying that if you say they're important, treat them like they're important.
No, I think it's a very well taken point. I think it's certainly an issue I've battled with. I think it's an issue other people battle with. I remember our mutual friend, Andy Traub. I remember talking with him several months back, and he was talking about how he tries to, I think, during the week and whatnot, have a cutoff time of, you know, let's say 4 o'clock, so he can go home and be with the family. And I said, you know what? I'm going to try to do that. I'm going to set that time and I'm just going to cut that off. And I did it for a couple of weeks and then just slowly started making an exception here, an exception there. And then next thing I know, I'm not doing it at all. Yeah. Well, you know, and it's so easy to fall back in that place. But at the same time, to your point, and I realize this each and every day, I've got a 6-year-old daughter, a 15-month-old daughter, and my wife's pregnant with our third, and she's due at the end of July. And we all know how fast the time goes by, right? I mean, you know, the 6 years so far has just flown by with my daughter. You don't get that back. And so,
well, here's what you do get going the other way. Okay, so there's a lot of things, Josh, I did wrong. Many, many, many things I did wrong. So I'm not sitting here saying I'm perfect, because I'm not. One thing I did right, though, was invested in my children. And let me tell you what happened as a result of it. I've got a 32-year-old daughter now. I have 4 grandchildren, and I have a 29-year-old daughter. And not long ago, my oldest daughter came, and she sat down in the den beside of me. Of course, she's been gone now, you know, 14 years. And she sat right next to me on the couch. Now I'm looking around. There's chairs everywhere. Yeah, we got other couches and chairs everywhere. And I look at her and cut my eyes over and I say, yeah, what's up, Brooke? And she just smiled. And I just jokingly, because she never asked me for anything, I said, how much money do you want? She just laughed. She said, I don't want any money. She's never asked me for anything in 14 years. But she looked at me and she said, no, Dad, I just want to be near you. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, that's a home run for a dad, for their 32-year-old daughter. And the reason she wanted to be near me is because I invested an inordinate amount of time all through their childhood. I was at all their events, their practices. I made time. And there was opportunities that I had that I could have made more money. I could have opened another store. I could have made another sale, right? And here's the other thing, and I wanted them to feel important. And this is just a couple of little nuggets maybe your listeners can hear that says to them, I'm important. Always, I took their call. Okay. I didn't care what I was doing, because if I was with Josh Brown and I was in a meeting and my daughter called, I answered the phone because I love you, Josh, but you're not as important as my daughter.
Absolutely.
And my daughter may need me. And if I was available on their dad, they were counting on me. I almost fired an employee one time because they took a message. They didn't come and ask me. And I said, what part did you not understand when I said I'm always available for Robin, Brooke, or Holly? And they said, well, you were with a customer. I said, I didn't care who I was with. Is the point is, I'll decide. You won't decide for me. I'll decide if I'm going to take the call or not. But I'm just saying, my actions coincided with me saying they're valuable. See, I handled them carefully because they're important. And I gave them time because they're valuable. And if I give all my good time at the office, or I give all the time away and I come home and I have nothing left, I'm irritable, they're in bed, I don't have time to pitch the ball with them, they're not important. What's important is you were making more money so you could pay for a house you might not could afford, or the car you might shouldn't have bought, because you were spending all your time making money on tangible possessions that are going to rust and decay and go away that don't matter. And all I want to do is point guys to their spouse and their children, things that are important related to your relationships, because they think these tangible things are going to make them whole. And they're not. I'm just telling you, I've been there. I've done that. And they don't. But when you go home and tell your wife, I'm done for the day, it's 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock, and I'm going to spend the rest of the time with you, do you know the value of you in her eyes just went way up? You know why? Because she's important. And she feels important as a direct result of it. So just let your words coincide with your actions.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I completely agree with that. And I am trying to do better. I know a lot of the people out there listening are probably nodding their heads too, like, yeah, I need to do better.
Josh, I'm going to hold you accountable, man. I'm going to call you and
please do.
Well, I tell you what, that's a big part of maybe what we need to talk about is accountability. 20 plus years, I've had 3 men hold me accountable to the things I sound like I'm preaching on here. You can call me Andy Stanley today if you want to, but I'm just saying that these guys say, hey, how are you doing with this? And are you treating Robin this way? Are you available for your grandkids? Are you spending too much time at work? I called Robin up my office the other day, and I felt it. I just knew the tension was mounting because there's a project I'm working on. And I said, I'm working too much, aren't I? And she said, yeah, you are. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to cut it off at this time. I'm going to be done. I'm going to set it aside. We got a little rule at our house. You don't bring your electronics to the bedroom. You know, you don't bring your electronics to the table. There are certain times we turn them off. We're done. I always send one more email. I always contact one more client, one more. There's always one more something to do. Invariably, always.
It never ends. It never ends.
No, but we have to build the boundaries, and we have to have the accountability. Like you said, I did it for a couple of weeks, and then I, you know, fell off the bandwagon. Well, you need those guys in your life that are calling you out. You give them permission to call you out. You say, hey, I know I'm weak in this area, and I need you to ask me on a regular basis because I want to do the right thing. And when you give people permission to do that, the dividends that you reap as a result of it are huge, and they're life-changing.
Oh, yeah. I know for that period of time I was doing it, it was fantastic. I was getting more focused and dedicated time with not only my wife but also my children and everything, and it was fantastic. So I would like for you to hold me accountable to that. And certainly that is one of the challenges that, you know, men have out there, you know, who are out there, they're working and do it. You had touched upon this earlier. Obviously we all deal with significant obstacles, or challenges. And you mentioned one that I cannot even imagine, the tragedy, or the car accident, that you had mentioned earlier. How were you able at that time and then going forward to move forward with your life? Because I think there's a lot of people, we all go through challenges. Yeah, you know, life doesn't stop when you start a business, or life doesn't stop when you grow a business. And there's a lot of people that get hung up and can be really on a good path, and then they get derailed. So I'm curious how you were able to maneuver that.
Well, it wasn't easy, and it took a lot of time. You know, I had a counselor that I went to and talked through that for a number of years, you know, because you can only imagine what that can do to you emotionally. I mean, you hit a pedestrian. It's like, it wasn't my fault. I mean, everyone around testified to the fact that he had been warned previously. A friend of mine was a friend of their families, and he went to him and said, hey, Aaron's a good guy. I know his family for 30 years, and, you know, they're great people and all. So there was never a lawsuit or anything like that that came out of it, because he was clearly in the wrong. But still, you know, my attorney said, don't contact the family. What's the first thing I did? You know, maybe I shouldn't, but I did. I just said, hey, I've got to give my condolences, and, you know, I don't even know what to say. I mean, what do you say? You know, I mean, you can't say anything. You just got to be there. So anyway, it's a long story as a result of that, but it took a lot of time, you know, to work through that. And, you know, we can't live in the past forever. The mastermind group that I've been a part of, you know, my personal mastermind group's been some guys you may, Josh, I don't know if you know any of them. Dan Miller, of course, you know.
Sure.
Dave Ramsey's been a part of that same group I've been in for a decade or 12 years. And Ken Abraham and James Ryle and some really, really cool people for years and years and years. And there was a real tough thing besides that I was going through one time. And one of them called me one day and said, I've got a word for you. And I said, well, this is going to be good. I'm looking forward to it. He said, you're wearing the crap out of everybody around you. And I didn't even know what to say. I said, what? And he goes, you can't get over this dilemma in your life, this thing, this tragic thing. And it's time to move on. It is time to put that behind you and move on. And he said, I got to go. I'll see you, and hung up.
Wow.
And I'm like, I was mad. I said, what is he doing? He's done this to me, and he's hanging it up on the, you know, what is he doing? And then I got to thinking about it, and I said, you know what? He cared about me enough to call me, to help me. I needed that push, and it changed my life. Well, it's the same way. If you don't have those trusted advisors, you don't have those people you're doing life with, you don't have those accountability groups or mastermind groups. See, we're not created to be islands. We're created to live in community. And we've got to have these people around us breathing life into us, encouraging us, empowering us, taking us to that next level, because we can't do it alone. Well, that's what men did for me when I had the accident. They came alongside me and they said, hey, you're going to get through this. It's dark, dark right now in the valley. There's going to be a time you're going to be back on the mountaintop again. It's going to be good. We're going to walk you through it. Well, if I hadn't invested in relationships, they wouldn't be there to invest in me. And so I'm just saying, continually build relationships, get those people around you that are trusted, non-biased advisors that can help you, that care for you, that can propel you forward. And that's the only reason I got through that, because I had people in my life like that.
Well, that's really inspiring. I mean, I think a lot of people maybe can't resonate with the actual experience, but can certainly resonate with having challenges and difficulties and trying to overcome it, where we all know it can set you back. And sometimes you just need somebody to say, listen, you've got to put it into place and move on. It's just interesting talking with you because so many, it's just a reminder that so much of the personal crosses over to the business and vice versa. And especially in the day and age where we live in, where we are accessible 24/7, and it really is crossover. We have, there's a lot of things I'd like to talk with you more about. Maybe I'll have you on for another
episode. That would be awesome, man. Yeah, I'd love to come back on your show and maybe discuss other topics. And if you'd have me back on, I'd butcher your show too bad, run everybody off,
But, no, I love it.
I would love to come back on. Absolutely.
I spend so much time on this show, even when I'm talking with people or when I'm on doing it myself, talking about sort of nuts and bolts things just relating to the business. So I certainly welcome your perspective, where you bring sort of the personal side into it. And I think a lot of the people will benefit from it and appreciate it. I know you have, before we go though, I know you have a few nice things that you've done.
I do. Yeah. I'd like to give away a couple of things to your audience. I'm not trying to sell anything. We're going to give these away. So let me tell you what it is, and then I'll tell you how you can get them.
Awesome.
There's three documents that I use everyday coaching. One of them is a personal assessment where you get a loan, you print this document off, and it's about 3 pages, and you go through and you discover what your ideals are, your identity, your faith, your relationships, career, things that are really important to us as individuals. And it's just a true false questionnaire. You just kind of do a deep dive into yourself. The second thing, most people never try to discover what they want intentionally. So I created a 4-page document. It's called What Do I Want? There's about 30 questions on this document, and you just live your life on purpose, intentionally, on paper. And as I said earlier, a lot of people say, I don't know what I want. I don't know how to get there. And so this document helps you get there. The third thing is called Steps to a Productive Day. They say, I understand who I am. I know what I want, but I don't know what to do next. And this is just a document that tells the important things you must do each and every day. I start you out really early, when you first get up, some things that I do that's important to me, and I walk through my entire day. And life is just a complete fullness of successful days. That's what a successful life would be. And so these three things will help catapult your life to the next level if you'll just implement them. I created a landing page just for your audience. It's viewfromthetop.com/franchise-euphoria. And if you'll go there, these are free. Download them, use them ever how you see fit. And I hope it helps you figure out who you are, what you want, and how to get there.
That's really, really gracious of you. I really appreciate that. I think a lot of people will find benefit with that. And how can somebody, is that the best place to get a hold of you?
Is it from the top? Yeah, okay. Just go to View from the Top. And my email is Aaron, A-A-R-O-N, at viewfromthetop.com. Twitter is at VFTCoach. And so I'd love to connect with you there. If any of your listeners are men, they want one-on-one coaching, I'd love to help them. There's 3 different programs. They're all explained on my website. And then the Iron Sharpens Iron Mastermind Group, where 10 men meet every week in a video conference room. They come together with the same men every week, and I facilitate every group. Man, I would love to have you involved in these groups, because these mastermind groups for over 2 decades now have been a game changer for me. It's like having your own board of directors, Josh. And so it is an awesome experience. And if you just got a question, you want to reach out to me, I'll be happy to answer it.
Well, that's fantastic. Thank you so much, Aaron, for really, your time and really just getting into the personal things. I really appreciate that. And I think your message, as I said throughout this, is really, really vital and important. And a lot of people will take it to heart and hopefully reach out to you. And I look forward to, of course, staying in touch and having you on for sort of a part 2 episode.
That'd be awesome, man. Thanks, Josh. Have a great day. Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Thanks for being with us today on the Franchise Euphoria podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to go to iTunes and provide a review. Also, please remember that although Josh Brown is a licensed and practicing attorney, nothing contained in this podcast should be construed as legal advice, because it is not. The information contained in this podcast is general and educational in nature, and none of it should be relied upon as legal advice. That being said, if you have questions for Josh and would like to contact him, please email him at josh@franchiseeuphoria.com. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope you tune in to our next weekly episode.